in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 472. I'm back. This is Lisa Sheps after an absence of 2 weeks. And I am joined by my co-hosts who are my guests. You're listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as usual, as always, on KOOP.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like summer.
I'm gonna turn down the right thing. On the show today, we have MCC Church and their Bible on Broadway series. And also later we'll hear from Jazz Queen, Hot and Bothered. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, in New York, in Chicago, in London, in everywhere else, including Timbuktu. Don't go away.
I don't have the means to go on.
So I offered her a loan. I offered to walk her home, she said.
Okay, I could scat like that if I wanted to. I just want to say that. I don't want a record of saying that. Anybody? Wait, why is it still going? All right, welcome to the show. It's Independence Day. That was a great show. I want to thank Kim Simpson and the wonderful International Jazz Bazaar for the 4th of July. That was a wonderful thing. Both Nicole, Nick Squared, will not be here today. They are off doing July 4th things or dealing with family or washing their hair or getting their nails done or something. Bottom line is they're not here. In their stead are my guests today, who will be my co-host. So ex-co-host and guest extraordinaire, friend of the show, everything good, is David Blackburn. Hi, David.
Who feels like he doesn't have a life because he's not doing any 4th of July stuff.
Join the club. Me
right?
Either. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
Let's introduce a new to the show. I don't believe you've ever been on this show. Lizzie Beltran. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, it's Lindsay.
Lindsay,
Beltran.
You know, I knew I was going to do that as I was writing because it's not spelled like Lindsay.
Exactly.
And it's spelled like Lizzie with a dip with an N. And I said, I'm going to say Lizzie. And of course I did.
It's very phonetic. My dad did not know how to spell Lindsay, so he just spelled it like he wanted to.
Well, there you go.
Hello, new friends.
Welcome.
Hi, Lindsay.
So we've just learned that neither David nor I have plans for the 4th of July. Do you, Lindsay?
I have a couple plans tonight. I have an improv show. I have to hang out with my boyfriend's family. You know, good stuff.
Are you going to see any fireworks?
I live right by Town Lake, so hopefully I don't have to park anywhere to go see them.
Do you know? Okay, well, I mean? The official Offstage and On the Air idea of this is it is not Town Lake. It is not Lady Bird Lake.
What is it?
It is the Colorado River.
It's a river.
It's a
river. Thank you.
It is not a lake. I refuse to call it a lake.
It's definitely not a lake.
It's Lady Bird River.
It's always flowing in the same direction.
Well, that's so I do. We'll just discuss this right now. I do believe that Lake Travis is a lake.
Lake Travis is a lake.
I don't, and it also flows in the same direction because it's part of the it's a dammed Colorado River. But I think if it is shaped like a river and acts like a river and looks like a river, it's a river.
Why do they call it a lake?
Because it is dammed on two sides.
Oh.
Okay, so I'm glad. So join next week on Rivers in Texas. Speaking of that, did you guys know that there are no natural lakes in the state of Texas?
I had a feeling.
There's one.
Me too.
And I forgot what it is, but when I was a Lyft driver, I learned all that stuff. So good. So not a lot going on in the theater world today, so we have a lot of time to chit and chat. But I did, as Nicole mentioned last week, I was in Chicago, and I saw a couple of shows, one of which was Hamilton.
Yeah,
I'm so thrilled to see Hamilton. And Lindsay, you also saw the Chicago production of Hamilton.
I did. I was there about a month ago, actually.
Okay. And we saw a different person play Hamilton. So I want to hear your thoughts on the show.
I'd actually had seen it in New York probably about a year ago too.
Okay, well, then
but
you
not
don't
with the original
count.
No, but I was gonna
no,
say
no, you do not.
No,
count.
The Chicago cast is better.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
The Chicago cast I saw was a little bit better.
Okay.
Just vocally, just emotionally.
Okay. Did you see any of the original cast? Was anybody left?
No.
Okay. So what did you think about the show? So both times you see, Dave, have you seen it?
No, color me jealous.
I spent a lot of money.
I did too. Although interestingly enough, so, the tour was in Houston, about a month ago.
Right.
And, I checked to see there were tickets available, but the tickets for the Houston tour were more expensive than the Chicago sit-down, which makes no sense to me, because in theory, the sit-down's got to be better than the tour, just by design of the set is always the set, and they can build it for the space. And so, anyway, I was very surprised.
And it's worth just, like, taking a weekend trip, which is what we ended up doing.
So you made a trip specifically to see Hamilton.
Yeah. It was great. And Chicago was like 60 degrees, which is, I don't know what we can talk about here.
It was that way my first 4 or 5 days there. So we both saw Jin Ha play Burr. Asian American actor. You liked him.
So I loved him.
I will have to say this. I felt that the weakest part of this show was the cast. I did not like the cast pretty much down the line, except for Liza. I liked her.
I loved Eliza.
And I saw Jamila Sabres-Clem. Do you know who you saw?
Is that for Eliza?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw
a lot of replacements in the show I saw.
Okay, the Eliza I saw in New York was really out of tune. Can I replicate what she sounded like?
Yeah, hold on, let me step
look
back.
Around?
Go ahead, do it.
She was like, look around, look around. That's what she sounded like. And I was just like, no, this is such a beautiful song. But the girl I saw in Chicago, which I think is the same girl, I was like, she's on pitch, which is the least I could ask
I liked
for.
Her. She was, she had... She wasn't like a slim little thing.
No,
was,
that's what I told my boyfriend. She was thick.
She was a big, curvy girl.
Do y'all know what that
wonderful.
Means? Yeah. Thick? Yeah. She was, I was like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And especially like Latinas playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wasn't crazy about the cast. The Hamilton, I saw nothing. I did not like Jin Ha all that much. But I liked Eliza. But the show itself was amazing. I just loved it. And I just, at the very end, of course, I'm drenched
bawling.
In tears at
yes.
the end. When it's Eliza's last little soliloquy number. But she does this thing at the very last second that surprised me and delighted me and caused me to gasp.
That?
Yes.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
No.
No.
Okay.
It's kind of like no.
She didn't really give it away.
Okay.
Because
I'm going to see
I thought
it.
When you said it caused me to gasp, it was, but it's just, it's a, it happens in the last second.
Literally second,
yeah. And it's a beautiful piece, and I knew nothing about it. So, wonderful, wonderful show, and worth all the hype. I still don't think it's worth the $400 I paid for a ticket.
Okay, I paid $200, but I literally like reloaded.
Were you in the orchestra?
We were front row, first balcony.
Okay, that's not bad.
It was a great seat.
That's not bad.
Something I will say about the musical, though, I literally start crying the opening scene because, I don't know, with everything that's going on politically, it's just so empowering to see fellow minorities on stage and just talking about how this is their country. And, man, it's just like the nail. It hits the nail on the head, and it just makes me cry instantly.
Yeah. So, are you Latina?
I am Latina.
Okay. I just made a rash judgment
based on
what you
clues.
Looked like. Yeah, so I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And especially, I mean, it's been big forever. What he did with people of color and Broadway is without question groundbreaking. And currently, you know, in our current environment, it just continues to be more and more appropriate.
More important, yeah.
So I just saw right before we went on the air, I had heard about this beforehand, but he, Lin-Manuel Miranda, spoke at the march in New York, I think, and sang Dear Theodosia. And he sang it a cappella, and he said, you know what, there are people out there, I'm gonna choke up a little bit right now, there are people out there that cannot sing lullabies to their children, so I'm going to sing a lullaby to their children for them.
It's got chills.
Beautiful. I had heard before that the audience sang the the burr part, and but they didn't.
Oh,
I was like, so, I was watching. I was when it, so what they did was in the chorus, they joined in the hook.
Oh.
So I also saw this John Hodgman. This is in the New York Times Magazine. There's a he does an advice column, I guess. Do y'all know who he is, John Hodgman?
No. Mm-mm.
He's a comedian. You would know him. He was the snarky know-it-all comedian on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show.
Oh, okay.
And now he has a big mustache, but he's always plays this know-it-all guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he was also when the PC and Mac did the...
Yeah.
He was the PC.
Got it.
Anyway, so... this is, I don't know if this is real or not, but I agree with this. But he says, my husband and I splurged on seats for Hamilton for my birthday. We've been listening to the soundtrack nonstop. He wants to sing along with the show just as he would at a concert. I think that'd be rude and ruin the show for me and everyone else around. And then John Hodgman replies, while this court spent most of 2016 listening to, thinking about, and yes, singing along with the soundtrack of Hamilton, I must order your husband not to do this in the theater. So, fortunately, was anybody singing the show when you went to see it?
Thankfully, no.
No, me neither.
When I went to go see it with my friend, I looked at her and I was like, you cannot sing during the show. I did not pay $200 to hear your terrible voice.
Nice. So, yeah, I forgot what show I just went to see recently, and somebody was sitting behind me, and they were singing everything, and I just want to go... Seriously?
No.
Oh, no, they started. No, it was the very first number, and I would have said something if they kept going.
Oh, man.
I forgot what show it was. Have you ever experienced that, David?
Not, well, I'm very rarely in the audience.
Do you ever go see shows?
I'm usually busy in shows.
La, la, la. Aren't you the most incredible person?
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Flip it.
All right, so the other thing that I saw while I was in Chicago was the Cher show. And oh, by the way, everybody, I've been showing you the playbills.
Yes.
It's right there. And the Chicago playbills do, the New York playbills do in June. They've got a rainbow header for Pride Month. So the Cher show is bound for Broadway. It stars Stephanie J. Block, amongst others. And I saw it on the 27th. In Chicago. It opened on the 28th. I was there when the critics were there. It is in theory bound for Broadway. Have y'all heard of the show?
Oh, yeah. I've heard about
actually.
It. Yeah. Especially when they announced Stephanie J. Block as being in it.
Yeah, who I love. I mean, she was amazing in Falsettos. So the Cher show tells the story of Cher. And they have three Chers, as is the way to do things these days, just like Donna Summer's the musical. Summer. But these three Chers... are on stage at the same time, which was a conceit I liked. They were talking to each other. So young Cher would give advice to medium Cher, who would give advice to old Cher, and vice versa. So that was real good. For instance, when she was thinking about leaving Sonny, old Cher, Stephanie J. Block, or I guess it's current Cher, they call them the star. I need to get you the names. Stephanie J. Block said, leave him. And the one that played the young Cher said don't. They are Babe is the young Cher, Lady is the medium Cher. So Babe is the young Cher with Sonny, Lady is the medium Cher with Greg Allman, and Star is the
current
older Cher with Rob Camaletti. So those are the three men.
Wasn't he like a delivery boy or something?
He was a pool boy or something?
Yeah, he was the help somewhere.
Yeah, good for you. I did not. When he showed up on the stage, I went, I don't remember this part of her
moving
life.
On up.
But the show was, I thought the show was weak. It has a lot of work to do.
Did it mostly use her music?
Oh, it was all her music.
Just all her music?
Or their music, Sonny and Cher. Sonny wrote most of the stuff that they started with. And it was spread very thin. The conceits had, it started out with Stephanie J. Block on a soundstage shooting a documentary maybe, or a TV show maybe, and it was sort of done in flashback with this. And then you didn't know whether it was the conceit, which was the framing mechanism, or whether it was one of the two shows that they actually did, the Sonny and Cher show and the Cher show. So it was a little weak that way. The guy that played Jared Spector played Sonny. He did a really good job.
Good.
and Emily Skinner was in it, and she played her mother, who I was unimpressed with. I also didn't like, I'm just going to keep slamming it. I didn't like the wigs, and the wigs were done by Charles Lopresti, who is a very famous wig person. And I just, I was telling somebody before earlier in the show, is they just, all the Cher hair looked like wigs. But I just saw a picture of Cher, or something of Cher on the TV or the internet recently. And her Cher, just on the actual Cher, kind of looked like a wig too. So I don't know. Variety said the Cher show sings but doesn't soar. And one of it wasn't really only about Cher, it was also about Bob Mackie, oddly enough.
She wouldn't have been Cher without him.
Clearly, and there was a whole.
I don't know who that is.
He's a costume designer.
Oh, I see.
All these really fancy gowns Cher were all Bob Mackie gowns. And Bob Mackie is the costume designer for this show, and he's a character in the show. And there's a whole number that's probably the best number is about the costumes. It's a whole parade of Bob Mackie costumes with all the women in the show wearing these beautiful. I mean, they're pretty gorgeous, and the lighting popped in, and it got very big, Busby Berkeley looking at that point. That was interesting, and to me, I was going, "Why? It's just a total homage to him." And less about Cher. So I think it's got some work to do.
How is the plot? I feel like biopics are hard. I know you've talked about it on your show.
Yeah, it's interesting. They talk about, in one of the reviews, and I'm searching for it, I have it in here somewhere, the Chicago Tribune talks about how it's very different from a lot of the biomusicals where it's just basically music, or a thin narrative, putting music together. And then there's also things like Jersey Boys, and what was the other one they called out, and Beautiful,
Carole
that
King.
Take it to a different level and try to make something much more of it. In my opinion, I haven't seen Beautiful. Oh, I have seen Beautiful.
Beautiful's great.
Both of them did that pretty well. This one is somewhere in between, and
it's not clicking.
It's just too fast. It's like they just jump from thing to thing to thing, and it's
a lot of life to cover.
Right, and then in her final portion of her life, she stops singing so much, and she's more. It's about her, the actress, once that happens, it slams to the ground and loses a lot of its energy. Mm. I don't know. And I was not happy with Stephanie J. Block, and I think it's mainly because there was nothing for her to do.
No material.
The content.
Yeah, I think so. The best Cher there. Well, actually, I liked the medium Cher and the young Cher. The girl that plays the young Cher, Babe, is Michaela Diamond. In her bio, theatrical debut.
Oh,
wow!
That's amazing. Theatrical.
And she
debut.
Was the best one.
I thought she did a really good. She was raw.
Yeah.
But she was playing a kid, so she should.
Yeah. Cher was raw at that time too.
This is true. I'm going to see if I underlined anything else to talk about. So one of the things that they said in Variety, written by Stephen Oxman, her mother charges her with becoming someone. Oh, and so it starts out with this scene with her running in, being bullied in school because she's a half-breed, which leads into the song Half-Breed, because she's had a Native American father. Mm-hmm. And so her mother charges her with becoming someone and embracing what makes her different, which unfortunately remains about the level of the thematic vagueness throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
I think that sort of says it. It's just it doesn't make a huge statement.
It doesn't have a direction.
No, but it was fun to hear those songs. Babe,
oh, yeah.
It also painted a very negative picture of Sonny, which in my ignorance... And I think I'm sure there's some truth to this. I had always thought of Cher as sort of the bad guy in the relationship. But this showed how controlling he was and how jealous he was. And he had affairs. And this I'm pretty sure is true. When they first got into business together, he created a company called Cher Incorporated. I think it was Cher Incorporated. He owned 95% of it. His lawyer owned 5% of it. And Cher owned, if you do the math, zero, which kind of sucks.
Did it talk about her son?
Yes. As a matter, oh, good. I'm glad you brought that up. So they never... I loved that they just referred to Chaz as Chaz.
Oh, that's great.
Even when Chaz was a youngster. The children never made an appearance. I'm assuming that's the son you're talking
about. Yes.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. So there was never... Chastity was never mentioned. So I thought that was
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you know the son's the other son's name?
No, I can't. No.
Elijah Blue.
Elijah Blue. I did know that. Well, I didn't know that.
I don't know why I know that.
Just some random information
it's
you know.
It's just one of those random things that came up in Trivial Pursuit or something.
Well, you need to know that. So we had a couple of deaths this week. One was Gillian Lynn,
mm-hmm.
who was the choreographer of, amongst other things, Cats and Phantom. And she died. I mean, it's... We say how sad it is, but she's 92 years old.
I can't believe that's how old she was.
Yeah. So there's a link at offstageonair.com to the New York Times obituary that says more about what she did and what she did. Here's a picture of her.
Oh, wow.
But they talked about Cats and how, you know, it's music and there's no narrative. There's no anything. It's just T.S. Eliot poetry set to song. So choreography was incredibly important. And when the revival that just happened, I want to see, I thought I had highlighted this. There was a lovely, oh, here it is. Charles Isherwood said, lyrical steps from classical ballet with knee-to-nose extensions, rump twisting and hip thrusting to suggest cats and heats, hands held in paw-like positions as the dancers prowl and crawl and leap in pseudo-feline poses. And I mean, it was just, and they redid her choreography for the show, the revival that just happened, which was. And the other death we had was as a former guest of Offstage and On the Air, which is Lillian Montevecchi.
Yeah, I just saw that yesterday.
Yeah. So she also was 85 years old. She died of colon cancer. And that was really, really hard. She won the Tony for Nine back in 1982. And guess how old she was when she did that show?
Probably.
Don't do the math. Just figure. Just guess.
63.
No, 50. But I still think that's amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
The opposite. Yeah. That's great, though.
Opposite.
Never
so,
give up.
Frank Rich, the New York Times critic at the time, called her a knockout, a glorious amalgam of musical feistiness and balletic grace with Toulouse-Lautrec shadows about the eyes.
Ooh, nice.
So she was 85. Again, a large life. This is a picture of her getting the Tony at Nine, which I find this interesting. This is all the actors that won Tonys. What do you find interesting about this in 1980s?
The only white person is a woman.
Yeah.
The rest are black.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
80s, good for Broadway.
Good for Broadway.
Three black people, which is Ben Harney, Jennifer Holliday, and Clavant Derricks. All won for Dreamgirls that year.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So that's good. And we're gonna, I'm not gonna spoil the surprise. So I'm just not gonna say anything about it.
Wow, I know. Can't wait.
Amazing. Cyrano the Musical. Have y'all heard it?
I've heard
happening?
It. I knew it was
What's
happening.
It called?
Cyrano the
no,
Musical.
I haven't heard of it.
Well, it's in development, and it's being developed by Goodspeed, and they just added another performer, Damon Gillespie, who did y'all watch Rise?
The TV oh, yes.
show Rise?
No.
The quarterback
lead in Spring Awakening, and he was quite good. I enjoyed him. The cool thing for me about the Cyrano is being done by Peter Dinklage.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Which could be cool. I'm assuming he can sing, but that's cool. And speaking of Peter Dinklage, I'm rewatching Game of Thrones right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he just did something with Darren Criss too.
Peter Dinklage or this
no,
guy?
This guy.
With this guy.
Oh yes, let's look at the picture on the radio.
Damon Gillespie. Damon J. Gillespie. Let's see. The Devil Wears Prada musical.
Musical. Okay. I heard about that.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about movie adaptations of musicals or musical adaptations?
Some things, like I'm real excited to see Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
I'm very excited to see that. Nicole, if she was here, would be blowing up. She's not excited to see it.
I did not like the
You're
movie.
Not excited to see it.
I didn't like the movie.
It loved was
the
bad. Movie.
Loved the movie.
Maybe with better singers, it'll be good.
Are you not Baz Luhrmann fans?
No.
Okay, see,
he's
there
very
you go.
Loud.
Love Baz Luhrmann. I love that. So you're probably
not that I wouldn't turn down a job.
There you go. Open, davidblackburn.com. So the writing team for Devil's Wear Prada is somebody who just joined the team, Shaina Taub, who I don't really know. Uh-uh. But the other writer is somebody named Sir Elton John.
Wow.
Oh, I guess he's writing the score.
The music?
Yes. So that
should
good
be. For him. That just upped its chances quite a bit.
Yep. And let's see, where are we in time? We're running out a little bit. The other thing I wanted to talk about is a show that just opened in, where is it? Oh God, I forgot where it is. Hold on, I have it right here. Never mind. At the Williamstown Theater Festival. It's called The Sound Inside, and it is with Mary Louise Parker. And it sounds fascinating. I want to read the here it is. Bella Baird is an accomplished professor at an Ivy League university who prizes her solitude. But when she faces a challenge she cannot tackle alone, she allies herself with a brilliant and mysterious student. Intensely intimate and deeply moving, this haunting play probes the questions of what one person can do for another. It's directed by David Cromer. It's written by Adam Rapp.
Wow.
It was reviewed by Jesse Green, New York Times, and it was a rave review. It seems
awesome.
Fascinating. It's evidently very mysterious about what this relationship does and how.
I was going to say the description is very vague.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's something.
Sounds good though.
Some juicy stuff.
Yep. All right. So the only other thing I was going to do a whole thing about what to see in New York, but we're running out of time. But the one things I did want to mention, something I mentioned here, I really love to see it. Fiddler auf dem Dach. Heard of it?
Mm-mm.
How about Fiddler on the Roof?
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Yiddish version.
Oh. Oh my God.
Which they just did, and it was, I forgot who directed or wrote the but it seems pretty amazing. So let's take a little break. We heard at the beginning of the show, I wanted to go somewhat patriotic, so we played Hamilton, and now for this, I had to go with my Chicago thing. There is no soundtrack for the Cher show, but we'll have to do with this. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. I've been talking to David Blackburn and Lindsay Beltran. And now we're going to switch gears and talk directly to David Blackburn. I had to I had to stop him from leaving the studio.
I was bored. What was I going to say? No.
How could you be bored? We're having such
titillating
conversation.
A little bit thirsty, but that's okay.
A little bit
okay.
Thirsty. Well, now you're, this will make, we'll just keep that thirst going. So you're here to talk about what?
MCC Austin at Freedom Oaks, the Metropolitan Community Church down in South Austin. Every July for this is our 10th year, we do a series called Bible on Broadway, and it's a sermon series where the service and sermons are based on a Broadway musical.
A Broadway musical, which is awesome. You've been on the show before in years past. I forgot which year, but it's been a while. I'm glad you've come here. We're going to take a quick tangent.
Okay.
For station identification. And this, normally we play something random, but this time I chose this one specifically because of current events.
Hello, I'm Liliane Montevecchi. And you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, owned by Austin. Bonsoir, bonjour, and I love you all. Je vous aime tous beaucoup. Au revoir, mes chéris.
Au revoir, ma chérie.
Aww.
May she rest in peace.
Oh.
So each year you choose, so the sermons are based on a Broadway show.
A Broadway show. We pick four a year.
Okay. And what were the four that you chose this year?
Well, we chose one and the congregation chose their three favorites since it was the 10th anniversary.
Okay. So which one did you, or No, tell us which four, and then Lindsay and I will guess which one.
Oh, it's so obvious which one we chose. Okay, the congregation's three favorite over the past 10 years were Wicked.
Yep.
Which was a sermon based on friendship.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then this week we're doing The Lion King. Based on family.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we're doing the one based that we picked, which is Come From Away.
Yep.
Which is all about being neighborly and good Samaritans. And then we're going to wrap it up with my favorite one we've ever done, The Color Purple.
Color Purple is awesome.
And we have a couple of guest artists for that.
And so what's the theme of Color Purple? Because there's a lot of themes you could choose.
You know, I have to look it up. I can't remember, and I don't want to say the wrong theme.
Okay. I'm hoping it's...
That was the number one pick from our congregation.
Color Purple.
Yes.
Really?
It was pretty powerful.
Well, I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought it would be either Wicked or Lion King just because of the popularity.
I thought it was going to be Rent, but that was fourth. Rent. I think that was fourth or fifth place.
Yeah, well, Rent would make a lot of sense at MCC.
Yeah.
So MCC Church, for those that don't know it, is a very inclusive, open church, open and affirming church, correct?
Very open, very affirming, very progressive.
Yeah, so...
I would venture to say probably one of the most progressive churches in Austin.
Yeah okay.
Probably. I don't know.
Well, I know the Unitarians may have some things to say to you about that, but...
Okay.
But, and that's then, true. There are a lot of open and
Austin
affirming.
Has a lot of
yeah,
open
and Sid Hall's church mm-hmm. is very open and affirming. So I don't know. I think that's one of the good things. I think it's good that you have competition in this.
I think it's great. Yeah.
So you've already done Wicked.
We've done Wicked.
How was it received?
It really went well. It went very, very well.
And is Daniel Arredondo still the
music
director?
He's the music director.
Okay.
He and I kind of share responsibilities in July for the four Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of town this week, so Lion King's my baby.
Okay. So what songs did y'all choose from Wicked?
For Wicked, for our prelude, which is usually a little musical thing, mm-hmm. we do a number from the show, and we did One Short Day. And then the songs from the show that we did, oh, I hope I get this right. We did...
That's okay.
Oh, What Is This Feeling?
Uh-huh.
Popular, Defying Gravity, and then for the off
Guys, you kind of have to do Defying Gravity.
Yeah, you kind of have to. And then we did For Good, which you kind of also
I was about
have
to say,
do.
You would also have to do that one as well. So what's going on with The Lion King then? And that's this coming Sunday.
That's mm-hmm. this coming Sunday. We'll be doing... The Circle of Life opening.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be our prelude. And then we'll be doing Just Can't Wait to Be King, Shadowland, He Lives in You, and then Can You Feel the Love Tonight, which you kind of have to do.
You kind of have to. I have to tell you, Lion King, such an amazing piece when I saw it. I was fortunate to see the original. And it transformed. I hate that it's Disney, but it transformed Broadway.
I was in tears. I was in tears at the end of the opening number.
Yes.
With those animals.
Oh my God! And they're all around you.
They're all around you. I saw it the last night of previews.
My favorite thing about it, and I know this has nothing to do with what you're doing, but my favorite thing is the genius of Julie Taymor, and some of the simplest things made such beautiful. One of the things that's so memorable to me was the time, I forgot which numbers, one of the African numbers, and all the cast was out in the house. They had sticks, and on the end of the sticks was a string, and on the end of the string was a bird, and they were just flying these birds all around the house.
Oh, that's the opening of Act 1, Act 2.
And I was just like... How amazing is this? And it's just actors with sticks.
And you're surrounded by it. And it's just the most amazing thing. Yes.
It's one of the beautiful things about theater and how we're allowed to take people to these magical places with just the smallest of things. So you say you have guest artists for The Color Purple.
Yes.
Do you typically have a standard stable of artists that you
use?
We
have a quartet of incredible musicians, four singers, plus Daniel, and sometimes they even let me sing a little bit.
Really? I don't think I've ever heard you sing.
Oh, yes, you have.
Have I?
Oh, yes, you have.
Okay.
I'm sure you have.
I
Too many people have, and I'm sure you're one of them. They're with us year-round, and when we first started the Broadway series, I would say probably 90% of the people were brought in just from the theater community. And now most of it's done by our core singers.
Brought in locally.
Yes. Brought locally.
Well, and, yeah. So are your guest artists also local?
Yes. Michelle Alexander. And
Love Michelle.
And Allegra. Do you know Allegra?
I do not.
Allegra was in our... She was our gospel singing nun in Bear. And
then I have seen her.
Yes, you have. And well, we'll see. I have an idea of what she might be doing next, but I can't say because the announcements haven't been made yet for the cast of Tommy.
Tommy, who's doing Tommy?
Next door, City.
Oh, Tommy, can you hear me? Another one I wasn't crazy about when I first saw it. Oddly enough, I'm not. I liked the Zach production of it.
You know what? I think that's one of those shows that. When you're in an more intimate space, it works better.
Maybe, which you wouldn't think because it's such a big,
right.
It's a big show.
Because I love Tommy. It's one of my favorite musicals of all time.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I grew up on that. Well, so did you.
Yeah.
We're of the same era. That was one of the first albums I ever had.
I went through three of them.
I still have the one. I still have my original one that I got right when
and
it came out.
My favorite version was the one with the London Symphony.
Oh, I only have the Who's version.
Well, it was the Who in the London.
Well, I mean
Symphony.
The Who's original.
The original,
version.
Yes.
So, all right, back to we're running out of time. Kind of knew we were going to do this.
Yes.
Come From Away is next week.
Next week is Come From Away.
That's such a wonderful. I'm assuming that's going to be what? You tell me. What's the sermon going to be based on around?
It's going to be based on being a good neighbor / Samaritan.
Yeah, which we all need to learn.
It's, you know, what happened in that little island for those few days is really what kind of needs to happen in the world.
Do you think?
And I have no idea what the sermon's going to be, but if I were writing the sermon, that's pretty much where I'd be going.
Awesome. Well, we are plumb out of time. So tell folks if they want to get information about the Broadway series or MCC, where they can go on the internet.
www.mccaustin.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I have not been over to see one. Perhaps I'll go. Maybe I'll come see The Lion King or The Color Purple. I'm out of town for The Color Purple.
Oh.
But I can see Come From Away.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much. We should do this annually. We talked about it.
We should. We should bring people annually. Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, that was David Blackburn.
Maybe we'll come the last week of June so we can actually have some people here who perform.
Would love that. Not July 4th.
Not July 4th.
Well, I'm glad that I'm pleased as hell that you came.
Oh, I am too.
Pleased as heck. If we're talking about a church, I shouldn't say. H-E-L double hop hockey sticks. Anyway, David Blackburn, representing MCC Austin with their series Bible on Broadway every July. Next week is The Lion King, or this coming Sunday's The Lion King, July 15th, Come From Away, July 22nd, The Color Purple. For more information, mccaustin.com, and we will be right back. In the jungle, the mighty jungle. So we've got just a very short time to talk about local stuff right now. I got a little thing in my email the other day that that Wimberley Players is doing Little Shop of Horrors. So that looks like a lot of fun. Hold on, you're nodding. I did not have your mic on, and now it is. Are you going away, David, to get some water? Or drink beer? He was making...
Fourth of July, baby.
So have you ever been out to Wimberley Players?
I actually haven't, but I love Little Shop of Horrors.
Me too.
Such a good musical.
Me too. I love it as well. And on the first theater, I was at Open Play Theater Group. We were planning on opening with Little Shop of Horrors after a big renovation, but we didn't do the renovation. And then the other thing I want to talk about is Broadway After Dark done over at the Vortex. Do you ever go to the Vortex?
I do. I love Butterfly Bar.
Oh, Butterfly Bar is great.
And then Patrizzi's too.
Yeah. I'm sort of a snob when it comes
to... Well, because you lived in New York and Chicago.
Yeah, Italian food.
See, it's hard to come by here.
I know. And so... let's see. Broadway After Dark. So this is, I'll just read this. If Noise Is Off and A Chorus Line had a burlesque baby, it's Mistress of Musicality's Broadway After Dark. It makes your sexy, silly, fun musical fantasies come to life in this feature-length musical review. So it's got a huge list of people. It's produced and directed by Coco Electric. So it's Broadway, a burlesque. Sounds
when
great.
When is that?
Oh, you want that information. And of course, it's not on this piece of paper, but go to vortexrep.org and you can get information that way, or www.academyofburlesque.com. Ooh. And I it's surprising that I don't have, I probably just didn't print the page with the date because I'm sure they did it. And that leads us just to Today in Theater History. Are you ready for Today in Theater History?
Yes.
Because you would think there's not a whole bunch of stuff that happened on the 4th of July.
Yeah, everybody's off, right?
And indeed, not a whole bunch of stuff happened. but this is the birthday of Neil Simon. You can't plan for that stuff, pretty much. So Neil Simon, we talk about Neil Simon. I just did a lot of talking about Neil Simon when talking about trying to produce plays that people in middle America or on the west side of Austin would be willing to see. And we sort of cringe when we say we have to do Neil Simon. But Neil Simon does some incredible stuff, even though he gets a hard time. But it is his birthday.
Happy birthday.
And have you ever seen any Neil Simon stuff? Can you name any?
I don't think so. No.
Putting you on the spot.
I'm young. Leave me alone.
I know. Well, here, I'm going to give you some.
I probably have.
The Odd Couple, Barefoot in the Park, Brighton Beach Memoirs, Broadway Bound, Lost in Lonkers. Lonkers?
Lonkers?
Lonkers.
Is that next to Yonkers?
He also wrote the book for Sweet Charity.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of a bad thing because I think the book is not so great.
The Odd Couple, the movie or the show?
Everything. Well, the television show, they had writers, but he wrote the play right. That the movie was based on. Back then they did it the other way around.
Yeah. Right.
So this was also the first time the Long Wharf Theater opened its doors in 1965. I thought they were older than that. And they did the show Yip 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 Hank. That's it. And it featured Kate Smith.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I am so wrong about that. I just switched paragraphs. That was done in 1942.
Oops.
Darn. That was from Irving Berlin's This is the Army, and that song, Yip, 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 Hank, was in it, and Kate Smith sang it. In 1965, when the Long Wharf Theater opened, they opened with The Crucible. A little bit different.
Very different.
In 1999... celebrating its 40th anniversary as a theater troupe. This I did because I didn't understand it. And I tried to find some information about it, but I couldn't. It's a San Francisco mime troupe presented a musical called Division Street.
I guess it would have been a very quiet musical.
Yes, I was looking for stuff on it. I couldn't find it. Anyway, the troupe itself was
heard of it.
Exactly. Anyway, so in 2001, Tom Selleck made his Broadway debut.
God bless us.
And if you want to guess what show? It's comedy.
Straight play?
By Herb Gardner. Straight play.
Yeah, couldn't tell you.
1,000 Clowns.
Oh.
I love that show.
Actually, I could see him in that.
I could too. So that's it for Today in Theater History. Oh, I should also say there are some auditions. Mad Productions is a new production company out in Round Rocks working on family-based theater. It is created by Olin Meadows, who's been on the show several times. And they're having auditions for Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, which the auditions themselves are on the 9th of July. If you are interested or want more information, you can email Olin at olin.meadows@gmail.com, or there will also be a link at offstageonair.com to the audition notice. Let's go out listening to something that Neil Simon wrote the lyrics for. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and not Nick Squared. Nick Squared! Yeah, it's hard when you do it by yourself. we just got finished talking to David Blackburn of the MCC Church's Broadway lecture series, Bible on Broadway. It's not a lecture, it's a sermon for
series.
God's sakes. And I'd like to welcome to the house Kanya Lyons, who just walked in the door. Hi, Kanya. She says hello. So let's talk. Let's switch over and find out what's going on with you, Lindsay, and talk about Jazz Queen, which is Queen is not spelled the normal way, is it?
It's spelled like, you know how, well,
You know how people say, yas, queen? So it's spelled with a K.
I don't know how people say that.
Oh, you don't?
But it's spelled with a K.
So, yeah, it was, I think it was a fixture in drag culture. Oh, okay. And then women appropriated it.
So tell us about the show Hot and Bothered that you're doing next week or this weekend?
July 13th.
Next week.
So it is a kind of a marriage of two of my favorite things. I work in the music business. It's a marriage of comedy. We have improvisers, we have characters, we have stand-up comedians, and then we have all of that is paired with jazz music. Everything is performed by women because it's two industries normally dominated by males.
Yes.
So it's women and people, we welcome people who are also to perform who are non-binary.
Awesome. So are you, is it structured? Is everything going to be sort of blended through each other, or is there going to be a section of music and a section of improv? And
it's blended. So I host tonight. I'm one of the producers, and we normally theme things together. So for our first night, it was on Valentine's Day. Somebody told a story about losing their virginity, and it was paired with a song about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously. but yeah, everything is pretty much married.
And what is the theme?
This time around, we've sold out our two other performances at Scoot In.
Oh, lovely.
So they told us to move outside, a bigger stage. So fitting to the theme is Hot and Bothered. Uh-huh. We're just talking, we're going to sing songs about summertime and just
summertime. And the living is easy. Like that?
Yeah, like
Can
that.
Can I get a job?
Yeah. Come okay, on the good. Show awesome. Whenever you want. and we'll have some free popsicles from Good Pop. To cool down some hot dogs.
Good Pops, they're Good Popsicles, which is what their name is.
Yes.
They should be.
It's amazing.
Straight to the point, you know?
Yeah, they're all natural junk, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Good people. You're an improviser.
I am.
And so you said you're in the music business. Are you a musician?
No, I work in the business of producing music mm-hmm. festivals.
I can't say what it is, but it rhymes with C3 Presents, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It rhymes with that.
Okay.
Good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And so you're doing the comedy. Are you performing as well?
I do. I sing. It's really what my co-producers and I created this event as an excuse to just perform.
Sure.
And use the resources we had. One of the girls had crippling stage fright, and it was an excuse to like push her in a nice way.
We call that CSF.
CSF.
Yeah, there's a whole commercial series about it.
Oh, really?
There's a drug for it these days.
Yeah, she didn't. Her drugs were just the music.
Okay. So. So she got over her critical stage fright.
Yeah, she did, and she's. I think it was. All of her friends came and supported her, and she did a phenomenal job. So her name's Sarah Marine.
That is great. So who are your fellow producers?
One of them is called Jessica Pertza. The other one's Sarah Marine.
Okay. And are they, I'm going to also take a guess here. You're of the millennial generation. Is that correct?
I think we are.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know who Neil Simon is, so probably.
Oh my God. So are most of your fellow producers and performers around the same age group?
Yeah, but I would say about... Yeah, I try
so then
to get.
So my chances for a job have just decreased.
No, you know what? We had a Mother's Day theme on Mother's Day week.
Which
it was called
is,
"What My
logical.
Mama Gave Me." Yeah, and
Mama
so
who bore me? Go ahead.
Oh, that would have been a really good
See,
song.
You should have talked.
We should
to
have
me.
Jazzed it up. But we try to get just like we do women, people who are non-binary. We try to mix it
get
up
some
with
old
age.
People.
Yeah, get
old
some
people.
Old and young people.
Old people, young people. Excellent.
Yeah.
And what kind of surprises do you think are people in store for this time around?
We have one of my favorite stand-up comedians. She moved out to LA. Her name's Vanessa Gonzalez. She'll be doing a stand-up set. I'm really excited about our new photo booth that we have going on. So you can do, this is a millennial thing. Write it down. # Jazz Queen. # Hot and Bothered. We have hot dogs from Mission Dogs. They're bacon wrapped hot dogs. That's pretty millennial.
Oh. Well, no, you could wrap a cardboard box in bacon.
And it would taste so good.
That's the kind of Jewish person I am.
And then we have music from Datura, Lauren Gold, me. We have a house band.
So you're singing.
I am singing. I'm trying to jazz up Bitty Bitty Bum Bum. Do you know Selena?
Bitty Bitty Bum Bum.
Yes, exactly.
No, see, I don't. I know. I know the Israeli, the Jewish. Bim bum bim 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 bum.
Ooh, I'm gonna
cheery beery 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 bim.
Well, when I lived in Florida, similar. I didn't hear of Selena until I moved to Texas. I did never heard of her when I lived in Florida, and then I moved to Texas right after she died.
Yeah.
And
that's when I heard of her.
That's when I heard of her.
I heard of her at the end. Now she's a Latina staple, and I kind of want a marriage. I want to marry
huge for the Latina community. God. She was big, 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 big.
Yeah.
And that's why you and I, first of all, we're old, and second of all, neither of us
are Latinas.
Latinas. We're both kind
of
Jewish.
We are of the of the white person tribe. underrepresented community.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, cool. So, how often do y'all do this?
You know, we're always producing music festivals, so. We try to do it twice every 2 months, but for the most part, it just comes up in like holidays or whenever we have time to do it.
So Jazz Queen is bi then?
Jazz Queen is bi?
You're bi. Bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly, yes.
Anybody with me?
It was like,
I'm here.
We are bi. By curious.
me too. I buy things, curiously. Awesome. Well, that is great. Where can folks go to get more information about this?
They can find us on Facebook, Jazz Queen with a K, K-W-E-E-N.
Right. Well, awesome. I'm so happy to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully, maybe you can stick around for backstage. When we come back from this next little break, we'll have some more time to chat, if y'all want.
Yay. Okay. Yeah. Sounds great.
So we will come back. So I was trying to figure out what to play. I needed to, you know, I have to do something Broadway show-y, but I also need to do something jazzy, and I think y'all are gonna like what I chose. We'll listen to a little bit of this.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty.
I feel stunning. Wasn't that great?
That was awesome. Great.
All right, extra points if you know who is singing.
I think we should ask the young one.
Oh, no. Pass.
You know what? No, I have to say, one of the podcasts I listen to has, it's called Today on Broadway, and it's two guys. One of them was a guest, Michael Tamanini, who's probably 10 years younger than me, and then the other host, and I just lost his name, is my age, and they constantly have college people come on as co-hosts, and I get really upset because every time they're on, they play on these people's ages every time, and it pisses me off. So I'm not going to do that to you.
Oh,
okay, I'm
you.
So sorry. I did that.
That being said, do you know who that was?
No.
Was that Ella?
No, Sarah Vaughan.
Sarah Vaughan.
And there's a wonderful.
There was a very Ella-ish arrangement.
Well, they have similar styles.
Yeah.
And I did this with, if you were watching on the video cam, you'd see the thing here.
Now everybody's going to be going online looking for the stupid video cam.
We used to have one back in the day.
We did.
Yep. Well, I'm so happy that you guys have joined me and you acted as co-host with me. So that was really, really wonderful. And I love, Lindsay, that you and I both saw Hamilton
within
a month of each other in the same theater. That's a beautiful theater.
It was. Oh, did I need to tell you a story. So when we were coming into the theater, you know how they scan your tickets?
They do.
So this woman got a bonk. And they were like,
wait, she got a what?
She got a bonk. Bonk. And the man was like, oh, this was for today's matinee earlier today.
No.
And I was like, oh.
And you know there's
and
not
how many
seat.
Hundreds of dollars did that cost her?
And he was like, go to the box office. I was like, oh, I wonder what happened to this poor woman.
And if you go to see any Broadway-style show or probably any show in Chicago, don't make the mistake I did and assume it's an 8 o'clock curtain, because it's not. It's a 7:30 curtain.
Right. More and more places are going to that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, so thank you guys for being on the show. We are out of time. Remember, folks, I should say this as well. That Ground Floor Theater is doing Fun Home, and we're having auditions on the 28th of this month. If you want more information, go to groundfloortheater.org. That would be groovy. So you can find all links to the stuff we talked about at offstageonair.com, and plus you can get us on our podcast at that web address, or through iTunes, or through Stitcher, or through anything else. If you get our podcast, and I'd really suggest that you do, you get to hear things like Backstage and Offstage. So do that. So if you're listening to the podcast, You will be hearing Backstage at Offstage right now. If you're listening to us on the terrestrial radio, Austin Monitor News is next. So catch us next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, folks.
All right, gentlemen, let's get on with it. Which of us will write our Declaration of Independence?
Mr. Adams, I say you should write it to your legal...
Well, the curtain has just come down on 2018, the musical, a lovely spoof of 1776, taking place on July 4th, 2018, where a whole bunch of people are pissed off at the government, and that's all there is to it. We've now left the theater. We're sitting backstage. We've left the backstage door. We're here out by the dumpsters. We're sitting in puddles of unnamed liquid. We're not even sure what it is. And we have a lovely, intimate group here today of one. We have Lizzie Beltran. Hi, Lizzie.
Hello, Lindsay.
I did it again.
You did it again.
Did you realize that I did it during the show once, and then I never did it again, and now I did it here.
I think because you read it.
I read it from the same exact place that I did before. I put everybody's name on the bottom of every page because I can't remember anything.
Right.
Anyway, but I'm not very smart. Lindsay, well, welcome. So what we like to do is learn a little bit about you versus the show you're doing here at Backstage. And we have the privilege of just being you and me, which is great.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we ascertained before that you grew up in Houston, Texas, outside of Pasadena.
Yes.
Which we, growing up in Texas in the 70s, in Houston in the 70s, we called it Stinkadena.
Stinkadena. Yeah, I still remember calling it that.
Because we used to go to, there was a restaurant called the San Jacinto Inn, which I don't believe is there, near the San Jacinto Monument, and we would drive through Pasadena. And there's, for those people that aren't familiar, there's loads and loads and loads of oil refineries there.
Yeah, power plants. My dad actually worked at a power plant.
Oh, he did.
Stinkadena.
Stinkadena. Yeah. But what was the name of the town that you grew up in?
Technically, it was Houston City Limits.
Okay, awesome.
The HCL.
Oh, Houston. Yeah. Thank you. You're doing my own trick on me. The HCL. So did you go to High School of Performing Arts in Houston?
I actually didn't. I was in a musical once. Actually, I was in musicals all 3 years. And then I did the pit because I was in band for Beauty and the Beast. So hard. The music is so hard.
What did you play?
Trumpet.
Trumpet. Good for you. See, I wanted to play French horn.
Oh, such a beautiful instrument.
Gorgeous instrument. So rich and beautiful. And you had to learn trumpet. And so I was in seventh grade. This would have been like the 1970, somewhere around there. And at that time, you couldn't choose what you wanted to play. You had to go in front of the band instructor and say, this is what I want to do. And so I said, I want to learn trumpet. And the band instructor looked at me and said, yeah, you look like a clarinet player.
That's so mean.
I know. He was we'll have a whole nother episode about Coach Tucker and how he stole music from Lisa Sheps.
He was a coach too?
Yeah.
Oh God, I hate it when they do that.
Yeah, it's bad. So you were a trumpet player in the pit for Beauty and the Beast. And so it was hard to play in the pit or hard to play this particular piece?
The music was just so hard. It's so intricate. Mm-hmm. And there's like one part, like trumpet 1, 2, 3, and 4, and it's all equally difficult.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all weren't playing in unison all that often?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, and there was only like four or five. And I wasn't a very good trumpet player. I was in the Longhorn Band, but I just kind of, you know,
so you were in the Longhorn Band here in Austin as
well?
Yeah,
yeah.
So you were marched?
I was marched.
You were marched.
I was definitely marched.
That's amazing. How was that?
It was great. It was like having high school and college.
Okay.
So I just had a lot of friends. I mean, I still keep in touch with a lot of
them. Did you go on road trips with the football team? I don't even know what I don't know what you call them.
The ball people. We would go to every game in Texas. And then if the football team made it to a bowl game, we'd travel out of state. We went to California, went to Scottsdale, Arizona. But it was fun. It was just like going with your friends.
So I have to say that, and I know I knew a lot of people in marching band in high school, and I think you're probably the first marching band person for me to actually have a conversation with.
Oh, ask me anything.
So, well, it's the coordination involved in not only reading your music, playing your instrument, and being where you need to be at any given time.
Yes.
It's choreography. So you're doing choreography, you're doing music, That's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of stuff. It's harder when you have a smaller band. Like in high school, we had like 100 people. So we were moving around a lot. But you only learned one show per semester. In Longhorn Band, however, we learned like a new show a week.
Right.
And so, but that, it was easier because it was, you're only going between the same 5 yards. Because there's like 300 people.
Y'all didn't do those big, intricate, like, spelling things out.
We
like,
did.
Hi, Lisa, how you doing?
Yeah, hello. Listen to her show.
So when did you, or did you, so you're an, comedian, a comic and an improviser.
Yes.
Do you also, or have you done theater? And when did that happen for you?
As soon as I was about to graduate college and I was going to leave my band friends, my friend was like, you should do improv. And so I just started doing it. I interned at the theaters. I've done it for 6 years now. It's just so fun. It's just about being so present, and it allows me to be almost childlike. I did the 48-hour marathon.
Oh, that just happened. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was in the core cast. I was
awesome.
Did all 48 hours. And it just, it makes me so happy, you know?
Well, and they say, they, which, by the way, is a panel of 5 people in Ohio, they say that Austin, after New York, Chicago, and LA, is like the improv capital.
Yeah.
So we support 5 theaters.
Yes.
Improv theaters here.
Yes.
That's amazing. Have you worked at all 5?
Pretty much, yeah. Everybody is so open, and it's so, getting stage time here is so accessible, so you can polish your skills, you can become a better improviser. A lot of people end up moving, but like I have a show today. I have a show pretty much like at least once a week.
Oh, awesome.
And it's great.
So we, I took improv at the Institution Theater.
Nice.
And when
now
I...
Now Fallout. Wait, no. That's
the... Oh, did he
theater.
Change his name?
No, the Institution...
Oh, no. The, which movie just changed
New
his
movement.
Name? New movement changed his name. What are they called now?
Fallout Theater.
Really?
Yeah.
Fallout and the Hideout and the... And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Cold Town.
So anyway, I went through the whole thing. I was a graduate. I have a diploma. But a group of us, our cohort, decided to stay together and start a troupe, which we called Shagrake. But it didn't. It did not live.
It fizzled out.
It fizzled out pretty quickly. But it was fun. So have you done theater as well?
You know, I haven't really done much theater.
No?
No. I've always wanted to. It just feels... The only thing that I will say that I love about improv compared to theater is that it is spontaneous and it's new every time. Theater is like you're really perfecting a skill.
True.
And that can be a little, you have to be really passionate about the project.
Different muscles.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you also, do you do stand-up?
I'm venturing more into stand-up. I mostly do improv, musical improv, which is so much fun.
Lovely.
And then I just try to different characters. I'm more stand-up is scary.
Stand-up is scary.
It's
this
scary.
Is the thing. I people often ask me, you should do stand-up, and I no. It's you know, when you're doing improv or you're doing theater, that audience is rooting for you. They
yes.
want you to win. When you're doing stand-up, it's exactly the opposite,
right.
And it is brutal, and you're up there by yourself.
And you have to write everything, and you have to practice how yeah. you're delivering it. Kind of like theater, I guess.
So, what do you love about improv?
I love the team aspect. I love how empowered I feel after every show. I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, why did I do that? But for the most part, I feel like you make good choices and they're supported by your team. And everybody has a good time, except for stand-ups that watch improv.
So do you have a troupe?
I have a few. I have one of my troupes called Dixon. I have a lot of female troupes, She.
Now, She is improvised musicals, right?
No, that's Girls, Girls, Girls.
Well, I know Girls, 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 but I know Girls, Girls, Girls improvised musicals.
Yes.
But isn't it She
no,
musical
we
as well?
No, we just do regular talkie.
Okay.
Talkie improv.
Talkie improv. T.I., yeah.
Talkie improv. And I'm actually in a drag queen show.
Awesome.
Running at Fallout Theater. I'm obviously not a drag queen. I normally play a drag king and... Man, the amount of preparation that goes into drag.
Especially drag queens.
Yes.
I mean, that's a whole other thing. It's that the drag makeup is a very specific,
yes.
crazy thing.
Yes. It's so, they get ready at like 10 a.m. for a show at 8 p.m. and do 40 minutes of mm-hmm. improv, and they're like, cool.
Drag kings, on the other hand, are a little bit different. I love drag king shows because they're usually message based.
Really?
Yeah, they're usually message based. They're usually political. They're usually progressive.
Okay.
Less so, you know, if drag queens are really out to have a good time.
Right.
And drag kings, I think, are more about saying stuff.
Really, like specific politics or just like general thematic?
General thematic is they'll usually have a message. And that's not, there's no cut and dry. There's no definitive absolute on right. either side. But there used to be a troupe here. Oh, God, I forgot their names. But they were great. Drag King troupe. And I don't know if they're still around or not.
Ooh, I'd love to see that. Because I kind of, I was afraid going into that show of just appropriating something that wasn't my culture. But everybody was so supportive and they're just like, be yourself, you yep. know, be who you want to be. And I ended up playing a drag king who was just very supportive and naive.
Well, and drag is a state of mind in a lot of
exactly.
ways.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so you also work in events at C3.
I do.
Okay. What specifically do you do?
Oh, man, this is going to be boring.
You don't have to go into detail. we don't want to bore people.
No, just briefly, my brief spiel, I project manage uh-huh. to websites we use internally.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, C3 does amazing work.
ACL, Lollapalooza.
All of that stuff.
It's fun. It's a completely, it's like if the difference is, it's both entertainment, but the music makes money. Yeah.
So you went to Lollapalooza in Chicago.
I did.
Did you have all backstage passes and everything because of your association with C3?
I mostly work. So,
oh, so you were there working?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, we're
that's
putting
different.
It on.
Never
yeah.
mind. I thought you just went as a guest.
No, it's a pretty young festival too. It's mostly like 18-year-olds mm-hmm. and it's crazy.
Well, that's great. So what about the future? What's Lindsay's plan for the future as it pertains to improv mm-hmm. or stand-up comedy or theater?
I'm actually trying because I do have platforms here. I'm trying to write a musical. Writing is scary, but I'm getting there. I was kind of a late bloomer, mm-hmm. and that's what the musical thematically is going to be about. Hopefully, light your candles for me. And then just in general, I'm just putting on sketch shows with me and my writing partner, Kim, who we met doing improv, and I was just like, this works. It's like, it was like asking somebody out. Yeah. It's like, do you want to write comedy with me? And then just, you know, performing anywhere I can get. It's my second job pretty
right,
much.
Sure.
You know?
Well, awesome. So now if you were to do a musical, like one of the ones that's already out
oh,
there.
Okay.
And you could choose any musical you want, play any role you want,
mm-hmm.
without regard to gender, age, or anything. What would it be?
I was just talking to my boyfriend about this. I would want to be Aaron Burr. In Hamilton. I'm a tenor, so, and I also love the character. I love that character because Lin-Manuel Miranda really humanizes him, and like the end of it, spoiler alert, he makes a mistake and he like, he really feels bad about it. And it's nice to see that progression.
Yeah, it's true.
What about you? What would you do?
Oh my God, nobody's allowed to ask me questions
no,
on my show.
No, but I want to know.
I don't know. There's so many different things that I would want to do. I think it's, even though I just asked it, I think it's an unfair question. And I haven't given any thought, but I know that I would want to play some of the really fun character positions. That's like, I have no desire to do any kind of
like
ingenue
lead.
Work.
Uh-huh.
But there's some fun character stuff, and I'm like, right now I'm at a blank. So
okay.
we're just gonna do all the character actors.
All of the. I would also just want to be Patti LuPone for a day.
Well, there you go. And wait, do you hear?
What?
Can't you? It's Patti LuPone singing right now. Yeah, it's from Evita. There it is.
Wait,
can
I
hear
can't
it?
Hear it. No.
Oh yeah, it's there.
It's there.
It's there.
She's probably singing it.
It's there. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having
okay.
me.
We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye.
We'll put on the show. Take me in, it's your blood. Give me speed, give me life.